Today I want to share a message with you that I call the heart of a shepherd, the heart of a shepherd. And I'm going to read in Luke chapter 15, Luke 15, verses 5 through 7. If you want to go there with me, you can. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And it says, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We got reverb going on in this. Test. Yeah, I don't know if you can figure out where that's at, but we might have to endure me being in a cave today, but that's okay. I want to ask you who we are in this story. Are we the shepherd? Are we the sheep? Are we the lost person? And the truth is, from time to time, we've been all of the people in this story, haven't we? There is a common view. It's the most obvious view, and that is that Jesus is the shepherd. He has come for the lost sheep. We are the sheep. And his message in this parable is to the Pharisees, because they were asking him about why he hung out with sinners and people like that. And he was saying, "Because I came for those who are lost. You don't think they're good because they're not like you, but I came for those kind of people." And I want to tell you today that is a good interpretation. It's the obvious one that's right out there, that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. But like most scriptures and most parables, there are various views that we can glean truth out of. And I want to give you another view, because there's a problem with this view if we're not careful. In fact, there are two problems with it. Is that if we are the sheep and we're just hanging out in the pasture, as it says, while the good shepherd goes to find the lost one, then that kind of gives us this message that our job is to just sit around in the church, so to speak, and just enjoy the good pasture and the safety of being in the church, while Jesus by himself goes out into the world and finds the lost and brings them to us. And let's be honest, that's the way a lot of times churches function, right? Is that we get used to just being in the church, and if someone happens to come by and visit us, we think that's a good thing. It becomes a mindset where church is really about us and our comfort and our friends and all those kind of things. And we reach this place to where we're not really doing what God called us to do, because problem number one with that mindset is Jesus told us to go. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." He told us to not stay here, but to go, right? And so we must understand that, first of all. Second of all, we must understand that we now are the body of Christ. And when Jesus was telling this parable, he was the body of Christ. He was the body of the physical body doing the Spirit's work in the world. And he was saying, "I've come, I'm given a message that's going to bring the lost, the sinners, the people that the Pharisees rejected and don't like. I'm bringing a message that's going to impact and save those very people." But we know what happened. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, rose from the dead, and then he went to be with his Father. And the Bible says he is seated at the right hand of God. That means at the right hand of the Father are the hands that had nail prints and the feet that had nail prints and the side that has a place where the spear pierced it. That body is in heaven, but now you and I are the body of Christ. So we must ask ourselves, if we are the body of Christ in this story, what must we do? And the answer is, obviously, we need to flip the script. We need to go from relaxing in the safety of the pasture to working. We need to go from waiting for the master to return to doing. We need to change from staying where we are to going to where they are. We need to make it go from what about us to what about them. And if there's anything I want you to get today, is that you and I need to change our mindset. It's a mindset that says the people who are lost are the ones who are the priority. Can somebody say amen? Listen, I love you, God loves you, but the lost are the priority. Amen? And it changes how we think, how we feel, how we speak, and how we act. What we need is to have the heart of a shepherd. Because when we have the heart of a shepherd, it changes who we are as a church. We stop being a place where we come and just gather and hang out, enjoy each other's company, and we make the people that live next door to us our priority. It makes the people that we work with our priority. It makes the relatives that we have our priority. It makes those who are lost, as Jesus calls them, our priority. You see, when you have the heart of a shepherd, one thing that you do is that you notice the lost. Can I be honest with you? A lot of Christians, they never get to seeking out the lost, going after the sheep, putting them on their shoulders. You know why? Because they don't even notice that one of them's lost. They're not even paying attention that one of them is lost. Sometimes we are, and Jesus describes us as his children, as we're in the safety of the pasture. He said they're safe in the pasture. So it isn't like we're in danger, like Jesus is abandoning us. We're safe in the pasture. And sometimes in the safety of the pasture, we kind of get caught up with our own thing. And like, well, I don't like the seats and I don't like what's going on in this area of my life. And we get so concerned about the comfort of where we are, we're not even paying attention to the fact that there are lost people around us that need us. Amen? Who are the lost anyway? They are, of course, the unsaved, those who have not been born again. I don't mean people who would check Christian on a box when somebody asked what their religion was. I mean people who have had an encounter with the living God. He has brought their dead spirit to life. He's lavished love upon them and made them his son or his daughter. If that hasn't happened to you, if you haven't been born again, then the Bible says you are lost. But I'm also talking about the wandering. Sometimes sheep wander off. The other day, Kathy and I went on an excursion. We like to just drive around and look at stuff in the countryside, and I'll take my camera and take pictures of old barns and longhorns and whatever we can find. And we found a little herd of little tiny little white goats, and they were on the other side of a fence, but one of the little small ones had gotten on the other side of the fence and was trying everything it could to get back where it belonged. Can I tell you something? From time to time, what happens to us as God's children is that we get on the other side of the fence. I don't mean we're lost. I mean, sometimes we just kind of get in a place where we are not where we should be. Amen. We've kind of gotten out of the fence. And you know what our job to do when you see someone in that position? It's not to say, hey, you dummy, why don't you get back on the right side of the fence? And we don't do that because we know someday we're going to be the dummy on the wrong side of the fence, right? No, what we should say is, hey, brother, sister, I love you. Come, let me help you get back on the right side of the fence. Let me help you get back where God wants you to be. Come back here with us and be with us. So when I say go after those who are lost, they are the unsaved and they are people in our own family who wander from time to time. Now, let me clarify. I don't mean make a list every Sunday of everyone who missed and then get on the phone and say, hey, where were you at? People don't want to hear that from you. They don't want you to be like the teacher checking roll every Sunday. But if you see them missing for a while and you want to call in and just tell them you love them, or maybe they're on your heart. Maybe they've been to church every Sunday, but they're just on your heart and you feel like there's something there. You need to go after them. The person who has the heart of a shepherd notices those who are lost, those who are hurting, those who are on the other side of the fence. He's not blinded to it because he's not paying attention to himself alone. Ooh, it's getting quiet in here. The heart of a shepherd, he goes after the lost. He doesn't just sit and wait for the lost to come home. He goes after them. What does that mean? It means we got to be intentional and active about the people around us. We've got to develop a plan to go after them. We've got to be intentional in our prayer life. Do you pray for the people you work with? Is there special people in your life and you know what they're going through and the struggles they have? You know they don't know Jesus. Do you pray for them? Do you pray for them? Do you make attempts to get to know them better? Let me tell you, sometimes it's as easy as being friendly to someone over a period of time where it's long enough they feel comfortable, and then they begin to open up to you about their problems, and you can pray for them or talk to them about Jesus. It's as simple as that sometimes. But we've got to be intentional. If we just let life pass us by, if we look at other people and say, that's your problem, not mine, I'm doing me, you do you, then we've missed the entire point of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to be intentional, and we've got to value those people. We've got to think they're important. The people who are in your life who don't know Christ, you've got to feel like they matter and that them knowing Jesus matters. And sometimes that's a matter of knowing how good God is. And if you know how good God is and you love your brother and you love your sister and you love your neighbor, then how can you not want to bring those things together? How can you not want to share Jesus with them and watch as that they experience the goodness that you've experienced? How can you not want that? And it's also as simple as believing there is a heaven and there is a hell. There is the presence of God where all good things are, and no bad thing is. And then there is hell where all bad things are, and no good thing is. And if you care about them, you want them to go to one and not the other. Come on, somebody. You got to value the lost. And if you're going to go after them, you got to prioritize them. That means they got to come first sometimes in your life. You got to look at them and say, I'm going to put myself second, third, maybe fourth, fifth. A lot of people think, well, you know, the pastor at a church, he gets whatever he wants. Can I tell you, the pastor usually don't get anything he wants very often. And I'm not complaining about that because it's a privilege. And one of the greatest things you can do as a Christian who has a depth to yourself and a maturity is to put other people before you. To say, I'm going to let them do what I like to do. I'm going to encourage them to develop and grow. I'm going to move over. I'm going to give them space because I enjoy watching them grow in the Lord. Come on, somebody. If you have the heart of the shepherd, you notice the lost. You go after the lost and you lay the lost on your shoulders. Now the rubber's going to hit the road, my friends. Because the good shepherd didn't just drag the sheep back. He put him on his shoulders. Can I tell you something? If you go after the lost, if you're going to bring him in, it's going to cost you something. It's going to hurt sometimes. It's going to cost you some of your time. It's going to cost you some of your money. It's going to cost you some of your energy. Let me give you some examples. You might have to take someone out to dinner just to get to know them. You might have to skip your favorite TV show that you've been binge watching. Take a break for a while and go to your neighbor and minister to them. You might have to allow someone to interrupt you, someone to call you on the phone, and you actually pick up the phone and see what they need and maybe spend the night helping them and encourage them. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something to put somebody else on your shoulders for a little while. Can I tell you something? There's been time in my life when I couldn't carry myself, but my brothers and my sisters carried me. Amen. And there's been times in your life where we saw you and you couldn't carry yourself and we picked you up and we helped you and we carried you. And that's what it means being a part of a fold. Hallelujah. You see, we got to go above and beyond. We can't look around and say, sorry, that's not my table. We can't look around and say, that's your problem, not mine. We've got to follow it through. You see, the Bible doesn't say he just goes after the loss. It says he goes after the loss until he finds them and he brings them home. We don't give up on people, do we? Come on. I know sometimes, you know, there are people who talk about they have relatives who've maybe been addicted to drugs and they've tried to help them. They've tried to help them, and they keep falling back. And at some point, they start stealing from them, and they have to cut them off from their life for a period of time. And listen, if you've ever had to do that, I want to encourage you. Just because you've had to do that for your own safety, your own well-being, doesn't mean you've given up on them. We don't give up, right? I don't know if there's a fat lady, but if she sings, we don't even give up when she sings. Come on. The the people thought Lazarus was dead. It's over. Even his own sisters say, Jesus, if you'd have just been here, but now it's too late. Can I tell you something? Even when you're dead and you've been in the grave 4 days and your body's supposed to be stinking from decay, it's not over until God says it's over. We don't quit and we don't give up. There's nothing stopping you from praying for people, even if you don't have contact with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And finally, today we rejoice when they come home. We don't get jealous when they come home. In the same chapter, Jesus tells another story about the prodigal son who, you remember the story, his father's got two sons and they're blessed and the father has got all they need, but one of his sons wants his part of the inheritance. So he takes his part and he goes out, and the Bible says that he spent it on the wrong kind of living. And he had a bunch of friends who helped him spend it. Some of y'all might got some friends that will help you. They show up every time your paycheck comes through and they're like, hey, what's up with you? You want to go party? You know why they show up when your paycheck comes through? Yeah, I hope you do. He had some of them good time friends, and then when he ran out of money, he didn't have anybody. So he got him a job in a pig farm, and he was so hungry, he looked at the slop the pigs were eating. Can you imagine just, have you ever seen slop in a bucket? It's just disgusting. And then when you dump it out, and it's kind of like wet, mushy food, and it goes, can you hear that sound? Can you imagine ever looking at that and going, I wish I could eat some of that? That's how bad it got. Can I tell you something? God will let you get down to the lowest of the low until you wake up and start looking up again. Amen. And you know, the prodigal son said, my father's got everything. I'm going to go home and I'm just going to be a servant. I know I don't deserve to be a son, but I'm going to be a servant. Well, he came home and his father was looking for him. And his father said, you're not a servant, you're my son. He accepted him back. And then he celebrated. He began to have a party. Get the fatted calf and let's kill that thing. And let's put a robe on my son and a ring on my son. And let's rejoice because my son was lost. And now he's home. Hallelujah. But his other son started getting mad. Make that little pitiful. Nobody ever gave me a party. Nobody ever gave me a party. You know, sometimes we're like that other son. We identify with the father. We identify with the prodigal son. But the truth is sometimes we're like that other son who gets jealous because God just blesses people. And it isn't just about them being saved. It's, you know, someday I'm going to serve under somebody. Somebody's going to be my leader who's younger than me and has less experience than me. And you know what? I'm not going to have a problem with it. You know why? Because God doesn't pick people because they earned it. He doesn't pick people because of experience. And in fact, the ministry that happens isn't really them anyway. It's His Holy Spirit working through them. You see, I refuse to be jealous of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I refuse to let stuff like that keep me from enjoying and rejoicing with what God is doing in somebody else. Come on, will you be blessed if somebody else gets a better car than you? You know, I'm going to tell you all this. I don't know if I should or not, but let me tell you a little secret about being a pastor. I tell my other pastor friends this, and they all agree 100%, is that people want their pastor blessed. So long as he's not more blessed than me, you get a better car than me, then that's a problem. You get a better house than me, then that's a problem. I mean, who do you think you are? Some people, that's what they want. And so what does that mean? Is a pastor can only be as blessed as the, let's say, the person who has the least in his congregation. Now, I know y'all aren't like that. I know that. But there are some folks today that that's the way they feel. But I want to ask you today, are you the kind of person who rejoices when your brother or sister in Christ is blessed in the Lord? Are you going to rejoice when they come and receive Jesus? Are you going to celebrate that a sinner has come home? Are you going to be glad when God brings them back because they've been wandering and He starts doing amazing things in their life? Are you going to sit over there and complain and gripe and whine because God never gave you what He gave them? Oh, I'm in your kitchen now, ain't I? Oh, thank you, Jesus. We rejoice and we share the rejoicing. He didn't just rejoice that his one sheep was home, he went to his neighbors. Can you imagine somebody so happy they knock on the neighbor's door and say, hey, I just got to tell you something wonderful that happened to me. Would you rejoice with me? And it makes me think that maybe we as church don't do that enough. Maybe we don't come to church enough and say, hey, would you rejoice with me? Somebody that I love had a miracle happen in their life. Somebody that I care about had a miracle. They became saved. They found God. Would you share the rejoicing? Because let me tell you something. As many miracles as God has done, raising the dead, sending financial miracles, doing wonderful things in our life. We could talk and talk and talk and go on about the goodness of God. There is no greater miracle than this, and that is the transformation of a person who's truly been saved from death to life, from darkness to light, from lost to found, from orphan to child of God. There is no greater miracle than the transformation that takes place right in front of our eyes when somebody is born again and God begins to change them. This ought to be the ultimate desire of our lives, is that we see people come to Jesus and watch as he transforms their lives. Amen. And you know why it matters to us, that one lost sheep? It matters because I was once that one lost sheep. Oh, my Jesus. Oh, my Jesus. I enjoy the safety of the pasture. I enjoy the safety of being in the presence of the good shepherd. But I care about that one lost sheep because I know what it means to be that one lost sheep. Thank you, Jesus. So what does this mean for our church, for Austin Alive Church? It means, one, that you're a missionary. And your world is your mission field, and it's full of lost sheep. This place that God has given us, this is not really a place for the saints to hang out, although we will hang out here and we'll have fun together and we'll do lots of things. It's not really just that. It's more like a base for missions. It's where we come and worship God and gather strength and peace. It's where we get teaching and training. It's where we learn. It's where we get prepared to go out into our world as missionaries in our world, looking for the one lost sheep. Can I promise you something? One person matters. One person matters. What does it mean for our church? It means that as we bring lost sheep into our church, it could get crowded in here. Sometimes it gets crowded in here and noisy sometimes, even when we don't even fill this place up. It gets a little crowded, a little noisy. And can I tell you something? Just always remind yourself, it's better to be noisy and crowded than to have nobody in here. Come on. Come on. And if it gets crowded in here, you might have to share your seat. Somebody might sit in your seat. Now you've gone too far, Pastor. You've gone too far, Pastor. Oh, man. I remember me and Kathy went to visit a church. I don't remember what for. We went to visit a church in Austin. And we sat down in a pew kind of towards the back. And the lady came in and she kind of paused. And then she sat in front of us. And I swear to you, this is what she looked like. She went. I know that look. That's the "you're in my seat" look. I've been sitting here. My Bible's here. I leave it here every Sunday. It's here when I get back. You might have to share your seat. In fact, I want to ask you to do me a favor in the future. Pay attention to the lost or the people that we don't know who come in here. And if you notice them coming in here, our people need to move to the front because it's really hard for visitors to come and sit in the front while you stay in the back. So if you notice there, like today we're fine, but if you start to notice that we're kind of getting a little crowded, then maybe you could move up. I don't know, these seats up here in the front, they don't have electrical prods. There's no reason you can't sit in them. I mean, you might have to share your seat. You might have to share your job when the lost come in. You might have to move over and not say, well, I've been doing this for 20 years. Maybe it's time for you to move up and do something different, huh? Maybe God's calling you. Not everyone has a ministry in the building. Some of us, you know, all of us have a ministry in our homes and our family. Maybe God's calling you to do something there. I don't know. I'm just telling you, we're not going to claim our territory in the church and say, this is mine, no one can do it. Come on. you might have to share your friendship. Can I tell you something? Some of us have been together so long, it's hard for visitors to get in the loop. Some of us, you know, I've been at, in February of next year, it'll be 20 years, Kathy and I have been at this church. And we know each other a lot. Y'all have watched me go from, you know, skinny to this. And I need a new suit because the one I have don't fit. Things have changed, and we know each other so well. There's times when there's people that have been to this church 5 years, and it feels like they're new. You know why? Because we've been here 20 years. And so we're going to have to share our friendship. And so you can't come to church with a mindset that says, oh, I can't wait to just have fun with my friends, and we're just going to fellowship, because that's the mindset of what about me and what do I enjoy, rather than what about them and what do they need from us. And if we have to come together and meet each other at a restaurant some other time or talk on the phone, that'll be okay. You know why? Because the one lost sheep is more important than us. Amen? And you might have to share your heart. Open up your circle of love. We all have a circle of love. We let people in degrees. Your husband, your wife, whoever that is, your spouse, your children, they're in really close. Close as you can get besides Jesus, who's on the inside, right? And then you've got friends and relatives and siblings and aunts and uncles, and you got neighbors and people you know, and then you got the guy at the gas station you see once a week when you fill up. I mean, it goes from there, but we've got a circle of love, and sometimes we just got to expand our circle of love and stop holding people out and start letting them get a little closer to the inside. That means we've got to open up our hearts. And every time you open your heart, you know what happens? You get vulnerable. Someone can hurt you. Someone can disappoint you. And some of us today, we've closed our heart because we've been hurt too much. And let me tell you before I close, you can get hurt at church by God's people. Yeah. Sometimes they don't mean to hurt you. And in fact, what we need to do is learn to forgive one another. Come on. Forgive one another. Open your heart. Because when it gets crowded in here, it's going to take special people. People who are deep and have a spiritual maturity about them, who are willing to say, those people coming through the door who don't know Jesus are the most important people here. We're going to make room for them. We're going to make space for them. We're going to encourage them. We're going to help them. We will have our time. We're safe and in the fold. We will have our moments. But I believe God is telling us it's time to flip the switch and begin looking outward for those that he is sending our way. Father, I want to thank you for this word today. I want to thank you for the challenge that you've given us. Father, I pray, Lord, that it would go deep within our thoughts, our minds, and our spirits, and would challenge the way we think about church. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be fluid in our ministry, that you could move us wherever you want to move us. You could shape us however you want to shape us, that we don't become stale and stuffy and rigid in our hearts and in our approach, God. I pray that you would continually give us a love for the people around us, the people in this community, the people in our very world. We thank you, we praise you for it, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Haven't we had just the most amazing day today? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to stand. I'm going to pray for you because you're going to leave here as a missionary and you're going to go into your own mission field, your own world, the people you know, this, your circle of influence, and look for those lost sheep. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over these people that they be blessed, that you guide them, that you protect them, that you fill them with love as they go out into the world, God, and as they share the love of God with the people that you have sent their way, God, that they will make an impact in their world, that they would notice the lost, that they would go after and be intentional about going after the lost, that they would pay the price and carry them on their shoulders to you, Jesus, and that they would rejoice, and we will rejoice with them as God does his work in their lives. This is our priority, Lord. This is your priority, and we just thank you. We praise you. In the name of Christ, I pray, amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. God loves you. You're dismissed.